Welcome to episode 2 of the Manifestillionaire podcast. I am your host, Michael Gustin. I am very, very excited to be with you today. Last week, a lot of you have expressed that it's opened your eyes, it's done a lot of cool things, and I appreciate that. The whole point of this podcast is to open your eyes, to give you the opportunity to ponder other perspectives, to grow, to increase, to become who you really want to be. And that's really my goal here. My goal with this podcast is to share with you the things that I have come to know and understand in different lights so that you may understand them and glean and experience as much new life as I have from these ideas and these concepts. It's really important to me. I think everybody needs to know this. I don't think that there's not one person in the world that couldn't benefit from this stuff. So today we're going to be going through some more of the book, The Power of Awareness by Neville Goddard. And we're going to be going through chapter 2. And chapter 2 is titled Consciousness. So if you have the book, you can follow along. If not, you can just go ahead and listen. But after the chapter ends, I'll do some reflections on certain paragraphs that stick out to me and hopefully inspire some revelation in you. With that said, let's begin. Chapter 2, Consciousness. It's only by a change of consciousness, by actually changing your concept of yourself, that you can build more stately mansions or the manifestations of higher and higher concepts. And by manifesting, it's meant experiencing the results of these concepts in our world. It is of vital importance to understand clearly just what consciousness is. The reason lies in the fact that consciousness is the one and only reality. It is the first and only cause substance of the phenomena of life. Nothing has existence for man save through the consciousness that he has of it. Therefore, it is to consciousness that you must turn, for it is the only foundation on which the phenomena of life can be explained. If we accept the idea of a first cause, it would follow that the evolution of that cause could never result in anything foreign to itself. That is, if the first cause substance is light, then all of its evolutions, its fruits, and its manifestations would remain light. And the first cause substance being consciousness, all of its evolutions, its fruits, and phenomena must rename consciousness. All that could be observed would be a higher or a lower form or variation of the same thing. In other words, if your consciousness is the only reality, it must also be the only substance. Consequently, what appears to you as circumstances, conditions, and even material objects are really only the products of your own consciousness. Nature, then, as a thing or a complex of things external to your mind, must be rejected. You and your environment cannot be regarded as existing separately. You and your world are one. Therefore, you must turn from the objective appearance of things to the subjective center of things, your consciousness. If you truly desire to know the cause of the phenomena of life, and how to use this knowledge to realize your fondest dreams. In the midst of the apparent contradictions, antagonisms, and contrasts of your life, there is only one principle at work, only your consciousness that is in operation. The difference does not consist in the variety of substances, but in the variety of arrangement of the same cause substance, your consciousness. The world moves with motiveless necessity. And by this, it means that it has no motive of its own, but it is under the necessity of manifesting your concept, the arrangement of your mind. And your mind is always arranged in the image of all you believe and consent to as true. The rich man or the poor man, the beggar man or the thief are not different minds, but different arrangements of the same mind. And in the same sense that a piece of steel, when it's magnetized, it differs not in the substance from its demagnetized state, but in the arrangement and the order of its molecules. A single electron revolving in a specified orbit constitutes the unit of magnetism. When a piece of steel or anything else is demagnetized, the revolving electrons have not stopped. Therefore, the magnetism has not gone out of existence. There is only a rearrangement of the particles so that they produce no outside or perceptible effect. And when the particles are arranged at random, mixed up in all directions, the substance is said to be demagnetized. But when the particles are marshaled in ranks so that a number of them face in one direction, the substance is a magnet. Magnetism is not generated. It is displayed. Health, wealth, beauty, and genius, they're not created either. They are only manifested by the arrangement of your mind, that is, by your concept of yourself. The importance of this in your daily life should be immediately apparent. The basic nature of the primal cause is consciousness. Therefore, the ultimate substance of all things is consciousness. That's the end of the chapter. I love these. They're short, but they're sweet. They're short, but they pack in so much information. There's so much to be extracted from this passage that we just read. And it's really important that we don't treat this kind of stuff as intellectual knowledge, like world cultures, history that we would learn in school, but as a continual building upon of a strong foundation. And that foundation is a foundation of understanding of who we really are. And we talked about that in the last episode. We talked about that you are not your body. You are what gives life to the body. You are the life that is in all things. You are that life. You are I am that I am. And I didn't come to understand that the first time I read this. It's a constant mulling over and pondering and consideration of these things from multiple different perspectives that I believe allows us to tap into the power of these truths, because applying these concepts to our lives, I think, is done over a process of time where we are continually understanding the truth of who we are. Because if you've never been told it before, for me to tell you that you have the power of the infinite running through you and working through you, it sounds great. It looks great. It's all that stuff. But it's like, okay, how do I manipulate that power? How do I modify that power? How do I exercise that power in order to work in my greater benefit? And that's what we're doing here. We're learning how to exercise the power that we've been using our whole life. A lot of people, when they get into this stuff, they say, well, you know, this is something new I have to learn. And I say, no, it's not something new you have to learn. You're actually just shifting directions because you've been attracting things into your life your entire life. And as we read here, what we are attracting into our life is really a byproduct of who we believe ourselves to be and what we believe to be true about the world. You know, people often tell me, I knew that was going to happen. And I look at them and I say, yeah, you did. And then they look at me and they say, wait, what? I said, you knew that was going to happen. And they say, well, I didn't. I say, yeah, you did. You knew it was true. You knew that there was a degree of truth about this thing happening in your life. And it happened because you accepted it to be true. If you notice, the things that happen in your life, the experiences that recreate themselves, that recycle themselves, the things that you experience over and over and over again, maybe just with different people or different places, they happen over and over again because of what we believe to be true about our lives. If we were to believe something else to be true, that thing would come to pass, right? So it's like people that go through a really crappy breakup after 2 weeks, and they've had multiple times of this 2-week relationship happening. Spoiler alert, that was me in high school. Very insecure. And these, you know, it's like, oh, you know, at the end, you have a crappy breakup, probably because you're codependent and you don't know how to have a relationship. Raise his hand. And you say to yourself, yeah, you know, I'm just not good enough to have a long relationship, right? Or I don't deserve something longer. They're better than this. And it's like the experience prompts a reaction. The reaction enforces the belief, or what we consent to is true. And then we end up finding ourselves in the same freaking situation just a couple weeks later, a couple months later. This happens with jobs, relationships, finances, you name it, certain experiences have been recycled over and over in your life. If I asked you to look back right now, I'm sure you could begin to recite things to me in the area of your relationships or your finance where similar circumstances tend to repeat. I don't have enough money at the end of the month. Oh. Now that's a tough one, huh? Because the truth is, my truth, this doesn't have to be your truth. It can be if you want it to be, and it can change your life. But the truth is, you can accept something new as true about your life. And I'm not telling you it's going to give you $1 million overnight. I'm not telling you anything even close to that. It's not going to help you win the lottery. But the place from which you frame yourself and your world determine the experiences that you have. So see, you're never going to act outside of your concept of yourself or something you accept to be true. So here's the thing. If the story you keep on telling yourself is, I don't have enough at the end of the month, you're always going to be in that place. You're always going to take action that causes that to change. But what happens is when you assume a new concept of yourself, I spend wisely. I manage money wisely. I always have more than enough at the end of the month. You're going to find yourself starting to take money management courses. You're going to find yourself coming into opportunities to make more money. And it may not be millions of dollars. It may just be a couple more dollars than you normally make. But you'll find that as you enter into a new state of consciousness on a regular basis, I do make more money than I could ever ask for. I make more than I need. I have the job that I love. I'm in the relationship that I love. The answer to problems, to our problems, our individual problems, starts with how we are identifying ourselves in relation to the circumstance, right? If we want the circumstance to end, we've got to stop telling the same story. And that's the great news, is right now, you can start to tell a new story. You can create an entirely new concept of yourself right now. And if it is fully believed, fully consented to as true, and I'm living proof of this, you can display your desired reality to yourself. I love what he says here at the beginning. It's only by a change of consciousness, by actually changing your concept of yourself, that you can build more stately mansions, right? Or the manifestations of higher and higher concepts, meaning that we can only manifest or create in our lives what we have adhered to or obtained internally. We can only create externally what we've first created internally. And so if what you're wanting to create more of is wealth, my invitation to you is to consider what your internal sphere of being looks like when it comes to wealth. How do you treat money? Do you treat money like a wife that you love, or do you treat money like an adopted stepchild that you hate? How do you view money? Do you think money hates you? Do you hate money? Do you think money loves you? Do you love money? And here's a spoiler alert. It's not bad to love money. It's not bad to love money. It's actually great to love money and be grateful for money, because you actually bring into your life what you're grateful for. Just like it's good to be grateful for anything. There are cats with me. My cats love to hang out and listen while we do these together. So in order to manifest a higher level of living, a higher lifestyle, we have to become that person first. We have to become the person that lives that lifestyle in our words, in our ideas, in our self-talk, in our inner talking, in our dominant feelings. Here's the thing. A person that has more than enough on a regular basis is not going to constantly feel as though they're in poverty. And here's a spoiler alert. You're not required to emotionally respond to situations with the societally accepted response. Most people, when they feel like they don't have enough, or they don't think they have enough for the end of the month, they're going to respond with fear. They're going to tighten up. There's going to be resistance. But that never works, and it never helps. Constriction kills. Constricting down, entering into resistance, lack-based perceptions and emotions is only going to recreate more of those experiences for ourselves, right? So the key here is changing our dominant focus. My invitation to you right now is to consider, what are you thinking about 80% of the day? What is the substance of your mind 80% of the day? And if you can't really tell me, that's totally okay. This is something for you to think about. Because you'll notice that as you begin to see what consumes your mind, what you allow to consume your mind 80% of the day, oftentimes it's the substance of your life. The narratives that you tell yourself about your life, the majority of the time, become your life. And that is this law here. And when we really realize this, there's an epiphany. Because we say, well, if I told that story and that inspired me to take this action which created that outcome, well, then I can tell a new story. I can create a new concept. I can create a new narrative about myself, because the story always comes true. The stories that we tell ourselves dominantly always come true. It's super important to understand that any enmity that we carry towards the world really is just enmity that we're having with ourselves. You know, whenever we see somebody or something, we are always seeing it through the lens of our own state of consciousness. We are seeing it through the lens of our reference points, which are our life experiences, our knowledge, and a bit of our personality. So we're never really seeing anything objectively. We're seeing it through a projection. We are projecting our own reference points and our knowledge and personality onto a thing, and then we are saying, this is true. But do we see how the very nature of that truth is flawed and cannot be objective? It can't be. And this is why when people always try and tell me that the world is a certain way, I say, you may see the world that way, and that's okay. And they tend to get really pissed off. Well, the newbies, the people that are kind of coming into this, they get upset, and it's understandable. I'm used to it at this point, because so many people believe that the government's holding them down and taxes are holding them down and the Illuminati or the cabal control the world, and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and I'm just a sheep, and I'm just in the middle of all this and I don't have any control. And if you notice, if you're one of those people that tell that story, or if you've got friends that tell that story, that their situation never really deviates from that narrative. Their physical situation always, always, always matches up with the story that they tell themselves. And this is how our life works. And so it's convenient that we're getting to the end of this year. We're getting ready for a new year. My question for you is, what concept of yourself are you going to create for 2019 and live inside of and see it to its full manifestation? What ideas are you going to consent to about your life? Because any active idea that you consent to as truth will come to pass. It's imperative that we all understand this. The ideas that I consent to as true about my life inevitably lead me to the manifestation of those ideas. And so in order to change the circumstances of our life, we have to change the ideas. We have to change the narratives. We have to change the inner talking, the stories, the things that we consent to be true about your life. So my question is, can you consent to the truth that you are abundant? Can you consent to the truth that you have the ability to create your life exactly the way you'd like it? Do you consent to the truth that reality is an outpicturing of your state of consciousness? If you do, my friend, then you have chosen to liberate yourself. Because there is no cause for our lives other than our own states of consciousness. In a world that is intent upon discovering justice, it's important that we don't imprison ourselves by holding somebody else responsible for our salvation. You know, as a child, I was raped and sexually abused pretty heavily inside of foster homes. I was also physically abused. And for a very long time, I was very upset with those people. And I'm going to be totally honest with you and tell you that I can't necessarily reconcile how that event was created. And sure, I can say, yeah, you know, that some external, you know, they had a choice in that and I didn't. And we can play semantics all day. It's really important that while you don't look too deep into the things that I'm saying, you look deep. I don't want to get into politics or anything like that. This is about your life and your birthright to enjoy it. You didn't come here to suffer. You didn't come here from some greater place as if this was a lesser place so that you could suffer. You came here to enjoy, and the truth is you've simply forgotten it. You came here to enjoy. But the truth is, we've got to learn to enjoy ourselves before I think that we can really enjoy our lives. Because if you're not enjoying yourself on a regular basis, who you are, the things you do, how you contribute to the world, there's no way that you're ever going to find that externally. There's just no way. There's no way. You know, the goal here is to have transformative experiences that allow us to understand the purpose of this life a little deeper, but ultimately to enjoy it a lot more. I would say that I enjoy my life, you know, 100% of the time. I really do, because even in the times when I'm depressed or not happy, eventually I find myself grateful that I was in that place, because there's always something to learn. There's always a place to grow. There's always room to grow. There's always room to enjoy more. But for a long time, I didn't. I hated my life. My mother gave me up for adoption when I was 3 years old. I was in a plethora of foster homes until I was adopted at 7. I was put on antipsychotics and antidepressants. I was diagnosed with 10 different mental disorders. I was an alcoholic by 7th grade, and I was cutting my wrist by 8th. I overdosed on over 4,000 milligrams of antidepressants in high school, and I know what it's like to hate your life and feel like there's no purpose. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, because somewhere along the way, I learned some things that allowed me to enjoy my life a hell of a lot more than I did before without medication. I've been free of those medications for over 7 years now. Totally free. Are there ups and downs still? Absolutely. Is that ever going to cease to exist? No, because that's the way this life works. But you do have the ability to create life on your terms. There is nobody that can tell you that you can't do it. The only thing standing between you and the realization of your goal is the story you keep on telling yourself as to why you can't have it. Because what happens? We tell the story, we take the action, we get the result. And the action and the result are always going to be synonymous with the story. So my invitation to you today is to begin to draw and write a new story. Create new concepts of yourself. You're no longer a victim. You no longer suck. You're amazing. You're an overcomer. You are abundant. You have the ability to create more wealth than you could ever want. You have the ability to be free from any sort of emotional trauma you might be dealing with. You have the power. Your salvation, it's inside. And if there's anything that I get across to you with my truth, it's this. Salvation is inside of you. It's always going to be inside of you. Because as long as it's outside of you, you're just never quite going to make it. There's always going to be more to go. As long as there is a standard that you have to live up to in order to take firm control of your salvation, of the vehicles that you would use to change your life, whether that would be a thriving business, a thriving relationship, all of these things, you have the ability to create them. And it starts with the story that you're telling yourself. It starts with changing your concept of yourself. So my challenge and my mission for you, should you accept it, is to, in detail, create a new story about your life. What does your life look like on a daily basis now that you are living the dream? Get very clear about this. Allow this to dominate your mental and emotional focus for the majority of your days. Become consumed by the feelings of relief and satisfaction rather than anxiety and worry, because you have the choice. You have the choice as to how you are going to respond and rationalize any situation that comes your way. In these situations, life is either an opportunity to become who we want to be or to shrink back into who we know we are not. So the choice is yours. The choice is yours. A piece of steel, when it's magnetized, it doesn't differ in substance from its demagnetized state. It's still steel. But it does begin to differentiate in the arrangement, in the order of the molecules. The substance, the core substance, never changes. But the arrangement of the substance changes, which causes a different effect. Either magnetization or demagnetization. Effects of the same substance arranged differently. And this is super important to understand. Super, super, super important to understand. You are, at your core, infinite consciousness. God substance, whatever you want to call it. You are infinite. And the arrangement of your mind, your concept of yourself, is the only differentiating factor as to the effect that occurs in your life. Your concept of yourself is what causes you to demagnetize or magnetize and bring your desired state of consciousness into reality, into experience. And how do we do this? How do we become a magnet for our experiences? How do we become a magnet for our desired experiences? Begin to feel the way we would feel if those desired experiences were happening right now. Can you tap into the relief of having more than enough money? Can you tap into the satisfaction of having reached that deadline? Can you tap into the joy that comes from having a thriving relationship? You can. I believe in you 115 million gazillion percent. And if you need to come back here every single day and listen to this in order to get this in and really integrate it into your life, then do it. Come back as many times as you need. You know, I've been studying this stuff for years and years and years, and I'm still learning. And I'm still getting new understanding and new revelation. It's not a school experience. It's not we read it, we get it, we leave. It's we read it, we read it, we read it, we ponder it, we contemplate it. We get it a little bit, we read it, we read it, we contemplate it, we get it a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and we get it, and our life changes, and it shifts, and we read, and we contemplate it more, and we ponder it more, and we see shifts. This is a lifelong journey here. We are doing this for life. We're in it together. So friends, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here, taking your time to listen to me. I really hope that you've received something from today's episode. I look forward to seeing you next week on the Manifestillionaire podcast. I'm your host, Michael Gustin. I hope you have an absolutely amazing rest of your week. Bye.